You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour at Aaron Donica, Jay Sear on this Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a good day so far. Darren McFarland, Will Adonik, Chase McCabe with you. Elijah Campbell, Manning Things at our Hillside Medical Game Studios. Let's say hello and good morning to Pat Sperduto. Been a longtime scout for the Chiefs, was a coach for the Titans, was the head coach of the Nashville Cats. He's been around football his entire adult life. Before we ask people for help, Pat, I'm going to ask you, because you've been around the game your entire life.
Okay.
Kevin Byard was really outspoken about the officiating on Sunday. Robert Quinn was very outspoken about the officiating last night in their game against the Vikings. This is not anything new to the sport, but there's been a lot of people complaining about the officiating. Do you think it's exactly the same as it's been for decades? Do you think it's gotten worse? Do you actually think it's better? Like, where are you on officials in today's game?
Well, officiating obviously has gotten better over time just because of all the tools that they have with replay, with, you know what I'm saying, with all the prep that goes into it and all the video that they watch just as much. I mean, they do as much work as some of the coaches do, you know, because they're always trying to better themselves as well. It's a you know, just look at the pay for officials too. It's gone up as you know astronomically from the early days. So it's always going to get better. I think that you know, and you don't want to use COVID as an excuse for some of this stuff, but obviously it's putting restrictions on a lot of things. I'm sure the officials would have spent maybe more time together the day before or whatever, but you know, travel's changed a bunch, and, you know, everybody's trying to work their way through it. But do I think officiating's gotten better? Yes, it's gotten better over time. And I'm just always a believer that never put the officials in a position to determine the outcome of the game. So we can all make, you know, whatever reasoning we want to say that that's the official's fault, a bad call, whatever, whatever. That, you know, just don't let them determine the outcome of the game. Don't let him be in that position, you know. Win by 40.
Yeah. Can I ask a quick question on this?
What's that?
I would, because you've coached. Do you think that replay has made our view of officials worse? Because we can see all the angles when they can't. So from a coaching point of view, would you almost, if they told you you could go back to the days before replay, would you rather do that, or do you like it better now?
Well, throw in, Chase, just not only replay, but high-definition television, high-definition cameras, angles, everything we have available just sitting and watching now that maybe we didn't have in the past.
Just think about a catch. A catch is it used to be, oh, he got it. You know, that was it. Now it's, you know, did the ball touch the ground or did, and they're, you know, like you said, high definition cameras, you're getting all these different angles, or did the ball cross the goal line? And, you know, so it puts such a huge scrutiny on the officials. It's added pressure for them to get it perfect. And it's really hard. It's human, you know, it's human error. But to that same token, players make mistakes too. And, you know, you got to put it on your end. Coaches make mistakes. How many times have I made a, you know, when I was coaching, made a bad call? I'd be like, gosh, you know, why did I call that? What an idiot. You know, I'd kick myself in the butt a bunch of times for making stupid calls, but it's human error. And yes, the scrutiny of high definition, instant replay, you know, it's the same way you look at hockey, the offsides. I mean, you know, now it's like they're trying to get it to the exact second that the guy's skate comes off the blue line, or it's across the board. It's just made it tougher on them. It's trying to expose human error as something greater than it is. At no point in time do I think officials are leaning towards one team or another. I don't believe that at all.
The maddest you've ever been in a game from a call by an official was what?
I can go to arena football where you have eight guys on the field for both teams, and a team ran a play with nine guys and was about to run a play again with nine guys, and I literally ran into the middle of the field right up to the official and started counting right next to him in Kansas City. That's funny that you said that, but I remember it like it was yesterday. I never thought I would ever do that, but I literally sprinted right to the middle. While the play was getting ready to go off, I sprinted over to the official. I said, they had nine guys last play. Let's count them together. And he throws a flag on me, you know, of course, on sportsmanlike conduct. But that's fine. But he had to count nine guys. And I said, that was last play. You were about to let him run another play with nine guys on defense.
And so, what did he say? Yep. He say anything?
Oh, he gave me the penalty. Walked it backwards. maybe we made that mistake, but that doesn't give you an excuse to come out on the field. I was like, it's impossible for us to complete a pass.
It's a power play.
It is a power play.
The first time ever in arena football that they actually had a power play.
Twice.
I wonder if the other coach on the other side, this is great, man. We got nine guys. This is awesome. Great new defense.
At first, I don't think he noticed the first play that it was nine. But after, you could tell he knew because he just went down to the other end of the bench.
He wanted no part of it. He knew exactly what you were doing.
Oh, yeah. He knew exactly why I was losing my mind.
Pat, we're going to be at Mercedes-Benz of Music City tomorrow during our show. We're very excited about that. 734 Envious Lane. Tell everybody, this is our final push this week. Christmas is upon us. How can people help?
Tomorrow between 10 and 2 during your show, we're asking your listeners who have been stepped up to the challenge every single year that we've called out to them. And they've come in droves, and I know it's a little bit different this year, and you and I talked a little bit about it yesterday, Darren. I know it's harder because of COVID. We are not allowed to take, you know, in the past we've just asked people to basically repurpose their own stuff. This time we can't use their own stuff. We have to have new packaged or newly bought items to give to homeless in order to help them. We're asking them to just take, you know, 20 minutes out of their day, run by a big box store, whether it's a Big Lots or wherever they can find the least expensive items. And we're looking for specific items this year. We're looking for sweatshirts, bigger sizes preferably. It doesn't matter if whatever logo is on it is irrelevant. If it's a misspelled word on it, if it's irregular, it's irrelevant. We just need it to be new. We need socks in packages. Again, they need to be new. We need gloves, bigger size gloves, of course, and knit hats in order to help some of our homeless people that have fallen on hard times or are in a tough situation get through the winter. Fortunately, I was just looking at the weather, and Saturday is going to be in the high 50s, which is great, but I'm sure right after Saturday we're going to take another drop down where it'll be like the last couple days in the 30s and 40s, and we're trying to help them get through this winter. And your listeners have stepped up every single year and gone out of their way and come and helped us. And once again, we're asking them to just give us, you know, whatever they can, because anything they give is going to be taken and used the right way. And we're just grateful for you guys. We're a huge shout out to Yogi's Pizzeria in Creve Hall. They've done meals every single year. Yogi Davis and his wife Robin and their whole group, they get there early in the morning and they start cooking and packaging up food. And we get to feed, you know, 150 to 200 homeless people every Christmas. And we're so grateful to them. And Yogi's a great guy. And of course, the families, Willie, and your family's been awesome. And, the you know, having the McFarlanes out there has been awesome. And the Warrens came out every year. It's a great way to start the day for us. And Willie and I have talked about it. There's no question it's a selfish feeling because you feel like you've done something little, but for them, it's something big, and we're grateful that they allow us to help them.
Well said. Pat, thank you so much. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow, and we look forward to doing our show tomorrow at Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Once again, that address is 734 Envious Lane.
Thanks again, Mercedes-Benz of Music City.
All right, Pat, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, take care.
Pat Sperduto, Kansas City Chiefs scout. He's been a coach. He's been around the sport his whole life, and he's asking. They've been at this for almost 25 years. I know, Willie, you've been a part of it for, I guess, two-plus decades, right? And we've been a part of it for, I don't know, 15-plus years. It's amazing. It's amazing to see. One, it's amazing to see the growth of our city and, unfortunately, the growth of who we're trying to help, right? You know, just that's the sad part is the numbers continue to grow, and that's why, quite honestly, we had to get, you know, we had to get the word out more. We needed more help because there were just so many people that were struggling. So if you can do anything, it would be greatly appreciated. We will come back. We'll have a conversation, a weekly chat with Predators General Manager David Poile. That's next. As promised every Tuesday at this time, we bring in Predators General Manager David Poile here on Darren Donick and Chase. David, how you doing?
Everything is good. Everything is good on the ice in terms of how our team is playing. Off the ice, it's a little bit up in the air for not only for the Predators, but lots of teams in the NHL with this new Omicron variant, I should say, sort of sending everybody for into the unknown once again. So we're, you know, protocols have all been ramped up like they were over a year ago, and it's a place that we've been before, but it's not as much fun, and it's certainly you know, unfortunate with a lot of games getting canceled. The Predators now have, you know, 5 games canceled that we have to make up, but you know, we're not by ourselves. There's a lot of other teams that are in the same situation. So I like everything that's happening on the ice for the Preds, but off the ice, obviously we certainly would like to get back to a little bit a healthier environment for all of us in the National Hockey League.
So with that being said, David, let's just start there because there's a lot of layers with all of this. Let's just start with how is the league going to make up all of this? Because the players don't want the checks to go away. The league doesn't want the games to go away. So you got to find a spot. And, of course, there's a 3-week spot in February that's wide open. And I know that buildings, there could be issues with building availability. But, and this is a player's deal. This is something that they bargained for, and it's their decision. But isn't it pretty easy right now to sit here? Because I think you told us last week, January 10th is kind of like the drop-dead date. But doesn't it kind of seem like the more this continues to happen, and it's gotten a lot worse since the last time we spoke, that this thing is probably, unfortunately, not going to happen? I mean, it seems highly unlikely they're going to China, right? Or no?
It certainly feels that way, even you know, talking to a couple of individual players. I mean, there's certainly no guarantees for their health or their safety or their ability to get out of China if they were sick. So I do feel that it's not going in the right direction in terms of having the NHL players participate in China, which then brings us to what you just said. We now have 3 weeks off, which has also been promised to the players. So I would think that we probably have two options here, is probably have a compromise in February in terms of the amount of break that was the players were supposed to have, and then maybe capture and make up a lot of these games in that, say, the third week of February. I think that's a possibility. And of course, the last resort would be, in addition to, you know, making a more compressed schedule, which I think we would not love to do that, is just extend the season for another week, if you will, to get in the, you know, the games that are missing. So in any event, it's going to happen, and we just have to see what it's going to look like. But I agree with you. I think the first decision that needs to be made is of whether the NHL players are going to participate in China. And once that is resolved, and if it is like you and I are just talking about right now, that we're not going to go there, then I think you'll start seeing the schedule getting remade, if you will.
So during Thursday night's game against Colorado, Elliot Friedman, who joins us on Thursdays on this show, tweeted out that Colorado, he had learned that Colorado had the option of postponing the game. Basically, you know, it's whatever the time frame was, hour, 2 hours before puck drop at Bridgestone Arena. I guess the first question I have is, why did Colorado have the option and not you guys? Is it because they had one less skater? Is there a certain number you got to reach? I don't know how that works, so I'm going to ask the general manager.
Well, you are correct, and Elliot Friedman was correct. This, again, is not a perfect situation that we're dealing with. Right now, on game days, we are testing twice a day. And we and Colorado test the second time when the players all arrive at the building, which is anywhere from 3 to 2 hours before the game. And all of our staff, including coaches and the traveling party. So you have approximately 100 people testing within that 1 hour. So that's step one. Step two, and where the problem exists, is that we only have what they call these 18 stations or 18 spinners that process the testing. So you can now divide 18 into 100 to realize that you're not getting your test back right away. So what happened specifically is Colorado's tests were late coming back, and they had players out in warm-up that eventually got scratched from the game. And when it got to be about 5 to 7, and Joe Sakic, the general manager of Colorado, and myself are talking with the league, they weren't sure whether they were 2 guys short, 3 guys short, or maybe 4 guys short, because there was some inconclusive tests. For example, Jack Johnson, one of the players, didn't join the game until midway through the first period because he had an inconclusive test, and he had to be retested again. So, you know, again, the leadership at the league, Bill Daly, Gary Bettman, felt that they needed to give Colorado the option, give them the comfort that they felt that they couldn't play the game because of the situation. Joe Sakic went back to their coach, went back to their players after the warm-up, and approximately 5 to 7, the players felt that they were still in a good enough situation and maybe getting Jack Johnson back that we should play the game. And that's how it played out. Not perfect scenario for sure.
Yeah. So was it you guys reaching your threshold once Mark Borowiecki tested positive in that time frame you just described in Chicago at the United Center and he was unavailable for the Blackhawks game? Was it now at that point, yet while you guys went on and played the game and won in overtime, had you kind of reached that threshold where now you're getting the opportunity to at least weigh in on whether you should be shut down or not, or how does that work?
The league, again, was never specific. It was never just about the numbers. It was more about the consecutive days that we have tested. For example, with getting another test at Borowiecki, the Chicago game, but then the next day we are sitting basically on the plane after we've tested heading to Carolina, where we have had another positive test. And in that case, the league just said that's 4 days in a row that we've had positive tests. It's now time to shut you down. You're still in a dangerous situation. So that's versus, say, Carolina, who we're going to play, who had not had any positive tests in the last 4 days, and they felt that they were safe to play. So, again, this is doctors, this is medical. I'm certainly not qualified to make that decision. And as you can see around the league, today, yesterday, probably tomorrow, I mean, there seems to be more cases that are still breaking out around the league. The good news for the Predators by being shut down, and in theory, in a knock on wood, without getting any more players testing positive, all of our players, the 8 players that have tested positive, will all be eligible to play in Dallas because they will have timed out, if you will, in terms of the amount of time that they've either tested or had the COVID. So it's a moving target every day here, and we're moving around the lineup basically every day until we get everybody back.
And the Dallas game that you're referring to is the first game back from the break. That'll be on Monday, December 27th, down in Dallas against the Stars. That is slated for a 7:30 puck drop. So, David, with all that being said, you know, this was not a good time. This team was on a roll, 7 in a row, playing some really, really good hockey, certainly their best hockey of the season through 30 games of this season. What have you really liked about this winning streak they're currently on?
Yeah, it's been great. It's you know, everything that we had hoped in terms of getting a little bit better as the season went along, but know, throughout our lineup, I mean, again, going by position, I mean, Saros has been terrific every game. David Rittich on the road trip wins a couple of games when Saros is sick. You know, on defense, Roman Josi is almost at the leading defenseman scoring in the league. And, you know, younger players like Favreau and Carrier continue to play better. The resurgence, if you will, of our third pair with Borowicki and Benning, they play great up front. You know, in the last game, Tanner Janot gets the winning goal in overtime. Trennan continued to play well. Colton Sissons is now playing first line for us, started the season, if you will, on our fourth line, on the Hurd line, is now playing first line. Tommy Novak, a young player, gets his first goal against you know, Chicago. You know, Philip Forsberg is playing really good, solid hockey and leading the way offensively for us. So it's just a lot of good things. Power play remains real good for us, and our penalty killing that's probably needs to improve a little bit. It made some made some big strides the last couple of games. So a lot of people getting opportunities probably higher than we or they thought they were going to get, and it's a good sign. And again, it's certainly like the chemistry, certainly like how everybody feels about each other. I think the fans can see that on the ice, and if you listen to the players in the interviews, they're really supportive and believing in everybody. So it's we're in a good position right now, and the players have really done a good job.
David Poile is with us, Predators general manager. And David, I want to ask you something. You guys certainly were thrown into the fire and did an amazing job on Thursday and Friday. With what happened on Saturday, so the team gets shut down. Some of the guys go back to Milwaukee and play that night, which was really a tip of the hat to them. I guess they played in Chicago. They didn't have to go very far, but they jump in there and play a third straight night. Let me ask you this, though. From now until December 27th, I know the policy with the Players Association is you basically hop a plane and go on the day of the game. So is it fair to say that the team really won't have any chance to practice or do anything between those two dates? That's a long time to not be able to practice or anything.
No, again, another thing that's not perfect, not right. I guess there's really no fairness in the situation. And again, you get into, you know, being a little concerned for, you know, more, not only the COVID now, but more injuries. So I think the NHL and the PA are, as we speak, are, you know, currently working on new protocols, different protocols. We see that the NFL changed their protocols. And also, Willie, as you mentioned, the 26th is a sort of a pivotal date. If we could practice that date, if we could test that date, it would sure put us in a better place for our game on the 27th. And that's kind of an unequal date, if you will. I mean, if you're at home, you're in a better situation. Of course, no travel, and you can get tested easily. If you, like us, have to go down to Dallas, I mean, for a game that night, we have to leave at least no later than 8 o'clock in the morning and then get down to Dallas so that we can skate in the morning. And in addition to that, we got to decide how the testing is going to work. Are we allowed to test on the 26th? Do we test in Nashville on the 27th? We get on the plane or we get down to Dallas. What if we have some positive tests then? I mean, we may not be able to field the team if we aren't allowed to test. So the league is aware of all these concerns, and hopefully we can get them in order so that everybody can feel good about playing that game on the 27th.
You've laid out a lot of the practicality issues with the protocols as they stand, and a lot of people around the league have illustrated some other ones. Jared Bednar talked about something you brought up, is when you test twice a day and you're testing just an hour or two before the game or waiting for results, then you can't react. You can't call somebody up unless you have three people sitting in the stands that have all tested negative and can jump in uniform, which is not going to happen. So I guess my question for you, David, is what does it take to actually change the protocols if that's what everybody decides, players, health experts, league officials? What has to go into that decision to come up with the plan? It would seem like there's a lot of details to go through there.
I think, first of all, I think everybody realizes that the testing twice a day is not the answer, and it's just causing problems. And you know, and that has to be changed. So I'm sure that's one of the protocols that's being addressed by the NHL, the NHLPA, and the doctors right now. I think, as you just said, every day there's these conversations between those three groups. We see that the NFL had a similar breakout, I guess you would say, to the NHL, and they've actually changed their protocols. The NBA is going through the exact same thing. They have not come out exactly with new protocols, but I think we need to do something different. Sir, for example, we basically are in a league where it's mandatory to be vaccinated. Maybe I'm just throwing this out. This is David Boyle, not anybody else. That maybe there can be mandatory booster shots and no testing. I'm not trying to say that is what we should do exactly, but it's an idea. I have to believe that the league, the PA, and the doctors are all thinking about these different things to allow us to get back on the ice, to get the games played, but also be in a safe environment. So it's everything is difficult right now, that's for sure. So one day at a time.
Yeah. And in the meantime, David, I think you guys have to be committed. You have to be thrilled. Because what it has done, it has tested your guys' organizational depth. You guys digging down, especially at forward, thinking about how low on the depth chart you had to go. And those guys like a Cole Smith or even a Cole Sherwood, who you just brought in a couple of weeks ago, they went in. Rocco Grimaldi, who has a special situation, you know, he gets waived, gets sent down. He comes up with a great attitude. All of these guys that maybe you thought, you know, maybe you wouldn't have to use, but they all go in there and they all – we're able to fill roles and get the job done.
Yeah, we found out a lot about a lot of different players, about our organization, about your depth. But to me, the most important thing, we found out about our character and our belief in each other. So, as I said, you know, at the start of the year, you know, a lot of people didn't pick us for very much. And I certainly understand that. And believe me, after 30 games, I'm not saying that we're anywhere near the best team in the league. But I certainly like our try. I like our attitude. I like our chemistry. I like our belief in each other, and let's just keep going along and see what happens. I like where we're headed.
David Poyle is with us. Predators general manager joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. And David, one thing that I think, knowing you like I do, that you know, you have a bright coach that is probably going to be in an NHL bench full time one of these days. And Carl Taylor did a tremendous job filling in. But the job he's done in Milwaukee, just what have you seen out of him since he's come into the organization and taken over the Admirals and the job that he did in those two games with the Preds?
Yeah, that's been another neat thing. You usually can't say that too much about COVID, but that not only are we trying players, but we're, you know, trying and giving opportunities to coaches. And, you know, as I've mentioned, a lot of the players, that, you know, when Carl Taylor or Scott Ford comes up there, up here, this is no different than when we gave you your first chance to come and play in the National Hockey League, and how they've been working for years to get this type of an opportunity. So it was unique, and it was also special because so many of these guys have actually played for Carl or played with Scott Ford as a player. Like Roman Josi even played with him as a player. So I think they had a lot of respect and currency coming in, and they worked with our coaches in terms of the, you know, the systems and how we wanted to play. But I mean, I think we all see the results spoke for themselves in terms of how well the players played, and it was all good. So really happy for Carl and Scott Ford, and certainly always felt very bullish about them, but maybe more people in the hockey world can see it now that they get a chance to be up here in the National Hockey League.
And Scott Nickel was on the bench too. So how much does that give him maybe a different perspective of getting to watch a couple games with some of these young players that we've been talking about that he has to evaluate on a daily basis? How much of a benefit was that for him?
Well, Scott, you know, former Predators player, NHL player, the closest that we have to somebody that last played, if you will, in the league. And he's, that's what his job is. I mean, he's in charge of our development department, in addition to being the GM down in Milwaukee. So, again, all these guys that we've called up, I mean, he's had a hand in developing along the way. So, again, another guy that had firsthand information about them. And I think, it was a good fit for everybody. Like, Scott really is Carl Taylor's boss or what have you. We kind of kidded around that we needed a management presence down there just to make sure everything was going okay. So we had a few laughs about that, as did the players. So again, it just speaks volumes in terms of how everybody's getting along and everybody's trying to do the right thing. But, Scott's doing a lot of different things for our organization, and that was great to see him on the bench and to get to see how, the coaches operate and see how the players operate. I think it was all good.
David, I was waiting for him to have to center the third or fourth line, but I think he could do it.
Well, I think he wanted us to play a little bit more physical in those games. Now, we did play physical, but Scott's level of physical and how we play may not be like it used to be. So he's all good.
Well, David, we appreciate it as always, and Merry Christmas to you and the family. And we hope to see you here soon and get back to semi-normal.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
And there you go, our weekly chat with Predators general manager David Poile. He joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. We'll have much more coming here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville app.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, thanks to David Poile for joining us, our weekly chat with him, Tuesdays at 11:15. Hey, if you want to go see War on Drugs at the Ryman Auditorium, that'll be on January 24th, just because you're swell. And just because you're listening to this show, be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You'll win a pair of tickets to see War on Drugs at the Ryman Auditorium on January 24th. Just for listening to the show, because it is the week of Christmas, let's give. Be caller 5. Good luck. All right. Some things have changed in the NHL. Very, 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 very light schedule tonight. And that's it. They're shutting down through the Christmas break. And then return afterwards. Teams can return back to normal activities, I believe, on, what is it, the 26th in the afternoon, I believe?
Yes.
Correct.
That normally is not the case. Usually when you get the break, it's the 24th, 25th, and the full day of the 26th, and you fly day of game, the road teams do, fly day of game to your destination on the 27th. So they have adjusted that. There's only one game left that has not been postponed tonight. That's Tampa Bay and Vegas. The other one that was scheduled, the Capitals and Flyers, that one has now been postponed. Issues with the Capitals. So,
do we think Tampa Bay and Vegas will actually happen?
Who knows? You heard David Poile. Right now, the protocol is you test twice a day. So
there was only one game last night. Dallas beat Minnesota. That was
it. Well, it's very difficult right now, the way this new variant is spreading. It spreads fast, and it shows up. And when you test twice, you're going to find people, the way these guys travel and are together in the locker rooms and whatnot. So that's what they're running into right now. So you heard David Poile discussing it. So right now what they've done is they've said, okay, let's get in what we can. If you can't get it in, we'll figure it out. The break will give them some time, I think, to look at the protocols, which I think they're already doing. They're also discussing the Olympics.
Should have official word on that here very, very soon. It's coming.
There's a lot of speculations.
They're not going, which is what I said last week and this week. They're not going.
Yeah, it's the players, I think, are coming to that realization that it's just going to be too much. And for the business of the league, it's going to be very important to try to reschedule some of these games. It makes a lot of sense. You heard David talking about it. I think the key, though, going forward is they're just going to have to adjust the protocols. Now, the thing about what happens if you do test positive, a lot of these people that have done it, once you get through, then you don't have to be tested. So it's not like you're going to get nailed twice on the testing part. But I think all that to say, you heard David Poile talking a lot about the discussions in the league. What is the right way to do this so that you don't have every week somebody coming up with a bunch of cases here? And at the same time, it's very important to make sure the health officials are on board with it. But if everybody's vaccinated, I think that's what we find, that the vaccinations are successfully keeping people out of the hospital. And that's really what it's all about at the end of the day, you know, for the greater good of everybody. If you're vaccinated, this thing, the vaccinations are very effective. And so if you're only experiencing mild symptoms or no symptoms at all, but yet you test positive, I think they're evolving their viewpoint on how to go about it. The NFL's already done it, and I would think that the NBA and the NHL are going to move in that direction. That's just my guess.
Look, I heard Charles Robinson on Robbie and Rexro this morning, Tuesdays at 9 o'clock. He's must listen to radio. He's really good. I thought it was really interesting to hear him talk about where they're at in the NFL. And I'm not surprised at all. And, boy, if there's anybody who could probably weigh in on this, it's you. Because, Jason, I don't go through this. And quite honestly, if we did, we would feel exactly like these NFL players and teams. There have been basically mutinies going on behind the scenes. Like, the players are done. Like, they're done with all the testing. They're done with all this. They're ready to say, look, man, here's the deal. If I can't play, it's just like any other time before this all hit. If I can't play and I don't feel good, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to get better. And then I'll let you know when I'm ready to come back to the facility. They're just kind of over all this testing. The NFL is unfortunately going to have to be the lead dog in this, and I think everybody will follow suit.
Well, aren't they usually?
It's a shame that it has to be that way because I understand. I mean, I do. You know, we've been talking about this on the show now for a little bit. We're just at the point now. Look, we got to live with this. This is what it is. It's not going away, and we just have to learn to work around it and live with it. And it's really interesting to hear him talk about how the NFL players are just flat out done with the testing. And like I said, I think he said it was the Rams. Like, there was a mutiny. Like, they're like, we're not even going out on the field. We're done. And like, they had to be coaxed to go out there and play the game. Like, that's how done they are with the daily testing and everything that's going on with them. And look, here's the deal. If you've been vaccinated and you're asymptomatic, they're going, man, I feel perfectly fine. Why can't I play? I mean, I've been vaccinated. You asked me to get vaccinated. I got vaccinated, and I tested positive, and I feel completely normal and completely fine. Why can't I work? That's what they're saying. And you know what? I don't know how you push back on that. At least I can't.
No, and the tricky part and the fine line, and this I think applies to anything, any type of illness, is, well, it's not just about you. It's about, you know, affecting somebody else. Like, I mean, I've said it on the air. Like, when I got vaccinated, it was more so for my dad because my dad was going through cancer treatments and I was the one taking him and was with him. And that was my driving force. It wasn't as much about me as it was more about him. And so that's still the concern is, well, you know, are you spreading it or what have you? But I agree. I mean,
but that's not going to change.
I mean, no, it's not.
Everybody's dealing with that. That's not
right.
The NFL. It's not the NHL. Everybody deals with that.
That's what I'm saying. You know, they eventually, and I think we're there. And honestly, I think sports is going to be the driving force with everything with this. We have to, you know, we've talked about this new normal. Well, we're there. This is it. This is the new normal, yeah. And we're learning to live with it. And I think that, you know, what I'm about to say could be unpopular, but every time you get a stuffy nose, you shouldn't have to go get a test. Like it's there are still colds, there are still other things, and we have to learn to power through that. And I think we are, and I think you're seeing this with the NFL, and I think the other leagues are going to follow suit. Now, if you're coughing your head off and you got a fever and, you know, everything, then yeah, okay, test and stay home. And just like you would with anything else. You know, don't be stupid. Don't bring it. You know, I remember using you just made the list of somebody that, and I think you did it too, Darren, of getting on a plane, just coughing their head off.
I've used it many
times.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like that's common sense.
Well, we were talking about it Friday up in Gallatin, Chase, off the air, like, you know, hopefully if one thing this will teach us is, you know what? How about we do this, you know, for the betterment of mankind? How about when we don't feel well and we feel like it's not about this particularly? Like, you just don't feel well. Like, during the winter months, that happens. Like, our house all last week, okay? And guess what? They went and got tested, and they were negative too. But guess what? They were just sick. It happens in the winter months. How about we just don't go around people? Like, that's, you know, how about just common courtesy? Like, I hope maybe we've learned, like, how about maybe you don't, you know, do normal things whenever you're not feeling well.
Right.
Like we used to always do. And go in a place and hack away. You know, how about we stay home away from people and just get better, then go back out, you know?
Sure.
Maybe that'll happen. Maybe we'll look at it a little bit differently, where before it's just like, I've got a flight, so I feel like total crap. I'm running 102 temperature, and who knows? I may have the flu. Who knows what I've got?
Then
but
don't
I'm
going to
get on that
plane.
Flight. Yeah, I'm going to get on that flight, and I'm just going to get on there and hack away and sit next to two people, and, you know, good luck to everybody. Like, how about we just don't do that anymore?
Yeah. Well, it's just common sense.
Just saying.
Common courtesy. But when it comes to how the NFL is going to do it, focus.
Sorry, got off topic a little bit.
You're okay. Focus testing is what they're calling it. I think that's what they should do. If you're asymptomatic and you're vaccinated, you've done everything that you've been asked to do and supposed to do, then he's got to play on.
The difference in the NHL is you have Canada and obviously seven teams, and Canada is in a different stage of the vaccination for the population. You still saw last week a game that Montreal had to not have fans, and that's not good. It just shows you where they are there. So that's, I think, going to complicate things some. There's also going up across the border, the crisscrossing of games. You're sending people across the border. That's where it gets complicated if somebody does test positive, because there are still going to be some people that test positive. I think we all have seen enough, especially with this variant. What generally looks to be the case is it's not as severe, especially on people that are vaccinated.
Yep.
It is very contagious, though. So you're going to get these positive cases. So what do you do about that? And you have to protect the vulnerable to a spot, to a point, right? You have to try to keep that in mind. So you shouldn't just flippantly just go around spreading it around everybody. But I think, as you know, what's pointed out was these players are tested so often compared to the general population. You know, the general population is going through the same thing, but a lot of them, like you said, Chase, unless you're really being diligent, every time you have a stuffy nose, you're going to get a test. There's plenty of people not being tested. They may actually be carrying it. They may be completely asymptomatic, and that's leading to the spread. That's why the vaccination is so important, because that's your protection. And the booster shots are very important too. The stats come out every month. It's overwhelming. If you're vaccinated, you're not going to end up in the hospital unless you have severe complications or you're at an age where you're much more susceptible to that kind of thing.
That's where I'm with the league, though. The players coaches.
So the league
asked
has
us
to
do like, something. We
yes.
did it. And so let us work. If we're fine, let us work.
Yeah.
You asked us to do it. We've done it. And let us work, and let's stop. Because, like I said, you're the one that has to go through it. Like, Jason, I don't – and I'm just telling you right now, if I'm just being totally honest, I'm sure I would be sick to death, just like most everybody. If we had to go through all the time, I'm sure I would be. I mean, I know it's part of it, and I would just begrudgingly do it and be like, oh, gosh, which probably – they're all there. It's very clear. The picture that I heard Charles Robinson paint, the NFL, they're already there like, enough, okay? Enough. We're tired of it. And they're done. They're done with it. And I suspect it's no different than any other leagues, right? I suspect. I'm not going to speak for them because
I'm
not
so.
Going through it, but it's just human nature, right? Like, oh, my gosh. Do you love it, Willie? Do you love it? No, you don't love it. Who loves
it? I love getting tested. I love getting tested. It's
love
so much
having
fun.
That Q-tip shoved
no, but you know what? That's what
nose.
You get up to every
you know,
day.
You
like,
know what? The
yes!
frustration,
more
the frustration.
Woo!
The tough thing, and I, if I'm feeling this, I know the players triply feel this, right? The prospect of having to miss a game, or two, or three, or four, That's what really bothers you. That's what gives you the anxiety. And you're waiting every day. Is it going to be me that gets tested positive and gets sick? Because you're automatically out. Whereas before, you know, you fight through it. If you got a little cold or something like that, you could play. But if you're carrying around a virus that could spread to somebody that could be really vulnerable, that's the dilemma there. But I think what's killing these players is, you know, they're getting tested all the time, twice a day, and the thought of missing some games is a really tough thing.
We'll come back. We'll start with Tim Hasselbeck to begin the third hour of the program. Congratulations, Jeff Moore. Thanks for listening, and good job being caller number 5. You get to go to the Ryman in January, so enjoy that show, and thanks for listening. I'm going to talk to you about DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NBA, and they've got a gift that will certainly put you in the holiday spirit. All new customers, listen up. All you can do, you can bet $5 on any NBA team, and if they win, you win $150 in free bets. Yeah, that's right. That's how it works. $5 on any team, and if they win in the NBA, you win $150 in free bets. All DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get in on the Christmas spirit with the holiday free bet surprise. Everyone will get a free bet up to $50 instantly as DraftKings gives away up to $10 million in prizes. Yes, I said million. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit, withdraw your money anytime you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code 1025GAME, and bet just $5 on any NBA team, and you can win $150 in free bets if they win. That code again, 1025GAME, this Christmas week at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. For details, if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.